الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه فويل للقاسية قلوبهم من ذكر الله أولئك في ضلال مبين صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام قضاء آكر باہوش کو بے ہوش کر گئی ہنگامہ حیات کو خاموش کر گئی قضاء آكر باہوش کو بے ہوش کر گئی ہنگامہ حیات کو خاموش کر گئی Most respected elders and brothers, those of our sisters who may be listening or streaming, these couplets of poetry that were recited, the composer mentions, that when death came, those who were conscious, those who were strong, fit and healthy, they were rendered useless. They were rendered unconscious. Hangama-e hayat ko khamosh kar gayi. All that hustle, bustle, activities that were taking place, the deals that were being struck, the meetings that were being organized, khamosh kar gayi. It was silenced. It was terminated. In the verses of the Quran Sharif that were recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses that believer whose heart has been expanded, whose heart has been opened up to the nur, the effulgence, the illumination of guidance and of hidayah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further in the verse mentions that woe to that heart, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Woe to that heart that is hard to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. That person is clearly has treaded the path of deviation. So we find that we come to this program, this Jum'ah Salah. What is the purpose? What is the objective? It is a reminder for ourselves. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That remind each other. I am reminding myself, we are sitting in this program to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world for a purpose, for an objective. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I have not created man and jinn except that they make my ibadat. But we find that the activities and the cycle of activities and sometimes the whirlwind of activities that overwhelms us, we lose focus of our true goal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that your true goal and your true purpose and your true objective is to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in order to achieve that, there are certain requirements that you need. There are certain requirements that need to be met in this world, and they therefore must be met. A person builds a house. In the house he incorporates a toilet. But if somebody has to ask him that, brother, why are you building the house? He says, I'm building the house for the toilet. We'll say there's something wrong. You are building the house to live in the house. The toilet is by the way. You cannot have a house without the toilet. The toilet is a necessity. The person goes, he relieves himself and he comes out. If he spends his entire time in the toilet, from the time he enters the house till the time he leaves, then there's some medical complication with him. In the same way, the mundane activities that we engage in this world should be kept at the point of necessity. But it has a greater objective. And that objective should be the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we need dunya, we need wealth, we need money, but we need it to be able to function, to be able to increase our ibadat in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not sleep, we will not be able to perform our fajr salah with concentration. But now if the person is sleeping in such a way that Fajr Salah also is being sacrificed in the process, then we will say that he has not really fulfilled the goal of that sleep. If the person is earning that money, and is earning and earning and earning, but nothing is really being achieved in terms of his real goal and purpose, then of course we will say that the person is not fulfilling his goal. The same works in our businesses. If somebody allocated a certain task to us, and in achieving that task there were certain things that needed to be put in place, but now if all our time goes into putting those things in place and not achieving the true goal and purpose, then that employer will say, look, with all due respect, I know that you are occupied with this, but I need this to be fulfilled. The person has a driver. He tells the driver, listen, I need you to pick up certain item from certain place. Go here, go point A, point B, point C, and you come back. So along the way, he stops at the nearest garage, and then he fills up fuel, and then he decides to wash the car, and then he realizes there's some chips on the car, so he takes it to the panel beater to spray it, until finally the day is over. When that employer asks him what happened, he says, no, I went to the garage, and then I realized the car was very dirty, so I decided to park it in the queue to wash the car. So he said, but then how long did that take? He said, then when we washed the car, we saw there were some chips on the bonnet, so I decided to take it to the panel beater, and he was fully booked, so we'll only get the car tomorrow, or next week. So that employer will say, look, fork it out some other time. Right now I needed stock in my business, I needed you to pick up these items, you didn't pick up those items, I'd rather get another driver. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala has sent us into this world to achieve certain goals, to achieve certain objectives. But now we have become so engrossed in the temporary beauties of this world, the dazzling lights, person is now only focused. One brother met me just before Jummah, he's mentioning to me that doing some work for some wealthy businessman, and you find that that businessman, he's got one property, two properties, and as soon as he hears now his, you know, his competitor has acquired another business, now he's itching. I need to get another property. See if you can find another property. She says, I'm telling him, but aren't you getting enough from this property? You've already, mashallah, got yourself a beautiful house, you've got nice vehicles, you set up your son too. I said, no, you need to get more. Another person wants another property. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, لَوْ أَنَّ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّن ذَهَبٍ لَبْتَغَى ثَالِثًا أَوْ كَمَ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That if the son of Adam, if he had one valley of gold, he would still desire a third and a fourth and a fifth. And if the person has five valleys of gold, he will still desire having seven and eight and nine. The person has got one shop, he wants two. The person got two shops, make it four shops. From four shops, he's now going to open up a chain store. Every shopping mall in South Africa, in the country, must have my branded store. And then after that, we need to see the whole of continent of Africa. And then after that, we need to go to worldwide, international. Make the business international. A very successful businessman. And in that process of chasing and racing, suddenly, qaza aakar bahosh ko behosh kar gaye, the angel of death knocks and finish. Everything left behind. And now when he faces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brother, what did you achieve? He said, I got a whole chain store. Well, from South Africa, from Southern Africa, right to Northern Africa, you know how many businessmen, how many clients I've got, you know, how many suppliers. Yeah, my shops are here and here, these are strategic places, I've got stores. That angel will say that, look, that's got nothing to do with the year after. What have you brought for here? What have you got for here? What have you got for your akhirat? Now the person will realize. So this is the purpose of these Jummah platforms, to create within ourselves the realization that let's refocus, let's re-understand what our true goal and purpose is. Our true goal and purpose is to work for our akhirat. Everything else should be kept by the way. We need it. We're not saying that we shouldn't have a business. We're not saying that you shouldn't be earning. But if the person is earning and alhamdulillah, he's meeting all his bills, his requirements and needs are being fulfilled. One person mentioned to one Maulana, the Maulana asked him, why are you working so hard? Alhamdulillah, we've got everything. It's now I set up my son. After a few years, he met him again and said, brother, still you're working so hard. Now, alhamdulillah, your son is set up. The grandchildren. Set up the grandchildren. And then after that, again, the great-grandchildren, set up a great-grandchildren's trust. Those great-grandchildren, you ask them, who was your great-great-grandfather? They won't even know who he is. They won't even remember you. But now the person is making such fikr, and in the process he's forgetting his own akhirat, investing in his own hereafter. That's why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made one very beautiful dua. He says, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. that Allah bless me with contentment in whatever risk and sustenance you have granted me. Bless me with contentment. That is really the rich person. The poor person is that person who has been deprived of contentment. He has got 10 businesses, but he's not satisfied. He's got a beautiful home, the most exquisite bed, but he's not satisfied. He's purchased the latest vehicle on the market, but now he's already looking at the new pictures of the upcoming vehicles for the next year. He wants that one. Never satisfied. That is really the poor person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world to work for our hereafter. And now we need to do an analysis of ourselves. We always concerned about our medical conditions. Now we're hearing about the second wave that's going to start, and it's starting in many countries. May Allah ta'ala protect us here. But now the person has got it in the back of his mind, because his health is precious to him. That are there any symptoms? Are there any signs that indicate that I am unwell? Do I have a sore throat? Do I have a fever? Have I got body pains? Is there shortness of breath? Now he's concerned. Do I have a runny nose? These are all symptoms that indicate to an underlying condition. Allah Ta'ala has also granted us some indicators and some symptoms that will indicate to some underlying weakness. It indicates to the weakness of the heart. Nabi Kareem Sahasim said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَى إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. That indeed there is a piece of flesh in the body. If that piece of flesh is in a good condition, the entire body will be in a good condition. And if that flesh is corrupt, then the entire body will be corrupt. If you find that a Muslim person, corrupt deeds are emanating from him, he is deceiving the customers, he's cheating and lying, he's hiding the defect in the goods just to get a few extra rands, then this indicates to the corruption within the heart. And if you find on the contrary that the person is honest, the person says, never mind, I'll suffer a loss, but I'm not prepared to speak a lie. That look brother, these are the weaknesses, this vehicle that I'm going to sell you, I need to show you this, that this problem here, that's problem, that this weakness is that weakness. And somebody will say to him, brother, you're not going to, the person won't buy the car then. Remember, that which is written for you will never miss you. That which is muqaddar and it has been destined for you, it will never miss you. Allah will make it such that it will somehow reach you. But remember, honesty, as they say in English, honesty is the best policy. Perhaps you may lose the customer, but in the process you haven't destroyed and lost your integrity. Otherwise you'll deceive the customer, he'll purchase the vehicle, but afterwards, when he discovers that you lied to him, that you hid some defect in it, you've actually lost not only that customer, but that person will continue conveying the message that this person is unscrupulous, he's indecent, he's lies. So we need to introspect in ourselves, is there some underlying weakness, are there some symptoms? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah says, can that person be equal? That person whose heart has been expanded to the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart has been opened up to the hidayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can he ever be equal to that person whose heart has been sealed? Mufassirin have mentioned, what are the signs? What are the signs that indicate to a heart that is healthy, that is sound? The first sign, التجافي عن دار الغرور التجافي عن دار الغرور والإنابة إلى دار الخلود والاستعداد للموت قبل نزوله أو كما قال. That the signs and the symptoms of a sound and a healthy heart is that the person, his heart is disinclined, his heart is detached from this temporary world, dar in ghurur, this world of deception. You find that this world is actually a place of deception. The person, he gets captivated by that beautiful car. It's glittering, it's shining, it's dazzling him. But if you really ponder carefully, what is that car? It is steel, and that steel came from the ground, and the ground There was sand and there was some reaction that took place within the ground, the various pressures and chemicals, etc., and steel was formed. That beautiful leather seeds came from some cow that was eating some grass somewhere in some field. The sponge, the steel, that's all there is to it. That vehicle effectively is sand. It is sand that now has been, you know, sculptured in a certain way and it's captivating us. That beautiful building too. And then that vehicle is so expensive, but one little accident sometimes, the person loses focus. May Allah protect us. And in the process an accident takes place and you find the entire vehicle lands in the scrapyard. Finish, gone. So how deceptive it is. The person gave his whole life to that. But in the process, finish, it's gone. Within seconds, it's gone. One person mentioned to me, family member running a vehicle showroom. So he just bought the latest vehicle on a particular brand. And they just had it, you know, valid. And now they put it on this very special mat that they had in the front of the showroom. And one customer walks in, a potential customer, they thought he's a customer. He said, very interested in the vehicle. So he's going to have a test drive. So he said, no problems, we're going to fetch some to put in so when they go for the test drive, they can track the vehicle. So I'm giving the person the keys. And as he turned around to go and fetch the device, this person started the vehicle, drove off, finished, gone. So imagine, that vehicle was purchased and so much of money was spent and within a matter of a few seconds it's gone. So how deceptive this world is. How disloyal this world is. So the heart, a sign that the heart is sound, is that there is a detachment to this temporary world. Now we need to understand this. When we say the heart is not attached to it, this doesn't mean that a person must not love his car, that he must not love his home, that he must not love his children, his wife, etc. What it means is that that love should be such that the love of Allah overpowers it. The love of Allah overpowers it. That now on the one hand, if there is a call from the wife or the children to violate some command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, Allah comes first. I have to perform my salah and thereafter we will see. So this is what it means, that the heart is not so attached that the person forgets to perform salah too. No, no, business is busy. The customers are coming and we'll perform salah, we'll lose the customers. You can't read salah, we'll read it afterwards. This is a sign that unfortunately the heart is too attached to this world. At-tajafi an dar al-ghurub. This is the first sign that that heart is sound, that it is detached from this temporary world, from this deceptive world. Wal-inabatu ila dar al-khulud. And in fact, instead of being attached to this world, you find that the heart is inclined to al-dar al-khulud, to that abode which is eternal, to that abode which is endless. A person will live in this world 40 years. Sometimes the person doesn't even reach 40. Nabi Kareem Sahasam, on one occasion, he mentioned to the Sahaba-e-Kiram, he drew a little diagram on the ground. And in the diagram he had a box, and then he drew a line that was cutting through the box and going, extending well beyond the box. And then Nabi Kareem Sahasam explained that this box is the lifespan of insan, of the human being. And this line that is extending beyond the box is the desires and the aspirations of that human being. The person's already building houses and properties in all the continents of the world. In fact, he's already gone to Mars. He's gone to Mars, but yet you find that this person, in a few weeks' time, or a few years' time, or a few months' time, the angel of death has got his name on the register. That this person is going to leave this world on a certain date. In the time of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, we know that in the previous Anbiya, the angel of death would come in the form of a human being. People recognized him. People knew who he was. So people were very conscious and aware of him. When he would move around, people would be very concerned. So the angel of death would walk around, look around. So one person came to Hazrat Sulaiman ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam and he lodged a complaint. He said, oh Sulaiman, that please instruct the wind or make arrangements for me to send to be sent to a very far away place. He says, why? He says, no, I can't sleep properly. He says, no, yesterday I went for a certain function and the angel of death was there and he was looking at me. He was looking at me with more intent than normal. So I'm very, very worried. I can't sleep, I can't eat. So Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam instructed the wind to take this person to a remote island and he was taken there. After a period of time, as Sulaiman alayhi salam met the angel of death, he says that what happened, a certain person complained about you, people are complaining, you're looking at them, be careful now, you will make people very uncomfortable. So he mentioned which person. I was very surprised when I saw him. He says because Allah Ta'ala had instructed me within a few hours to take this person's soul in a remote island. And I couldn't understand how is he going to reach that remote island when he is right here. And that's why I looked at him very confused, that how is this going to be achieved? So look at that. This person thought that he will run away from the angel of death, but in fact, death was written for him in that particular remote island. We cannot escape from the inevitable. And therefore, each person has got an expiry date attached to his name. There is an expiry date attached to our names. Allah Ta'ala's hikmat and mercy that He has kept it hidden. If every person knew on which date he is going to be expiring, can we imagine how difficult it would be to function? If we knew that after Jummah Salah, we are going to be leaving this world, what would our condition be? When we were making imamat in Masjid al-Nur, we had one brother, how fortunate he was. We just met him before the Jummah Salah, very, very jovial person. Performed the Jummah Salah, in the Jummah Salah, in the position of Sajda, he passed away. He left this world. Yet before the Jummah Salah, when we met him, he had absolutely no idea that within a few minutes he's going to be leaving this world. He's going to be moving on. His departure date has been written. He has to depart from this temporary world. And this is what it is, respected elders and brothers, it is temporary. A person will live in this world 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. 90 years if he is extremely fortunate. Very few even reach those ages. But in comparison to the hereafter, Allahu Akbar, فَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِّمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day in the hereafter is equivalent to 1,000 years in this world. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the day of Qiyamah, في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة. That the day of judgment, one day, equivalent to 50,000 years of this world. That's why Allah Ta'ala mentions in the after, that when the people of Jannah will inquire from each other, قال كم لبثتم في الأرض عدد سنين؟ قال كم لبثتم في الأرض عدد سنين؟ قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعين. That how long? They will ask each other, how long were we there? In this world, in this temporary world, how long were we there? They will say to each other that we stayed there, لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمًا. That we stayed there for one day, in fact not even one day, perhaps part of the day. Half a day we were there. Allahu Akbar, respected elders and brothers, we think our life is very long, but in comparison to the hereafter, it is absolutely nothing. Hence Allah, here in these verses, al-inabatu ila daril khulud, an indication that the heart is clean, that the heart is sound, is that you will find that heart is inclined to the hereafter. The heart is inclined to the hereafter. The person is dunya ke mashghalo maybe. Khaja Azizul Hasan Majub rahmatullahi alayhi says, dunya ke mashghalo maybe, waba khuda rahe, wa sab ke saath reh karke bhi sab se juda rahe. That the person will be occupied in the activities of this world, do the deals, lekin dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi waba khuda rahe. He is linked with Allah Ta'ala. His heart is towards the akhirat. His heart is focused on the akhirat. Now when someone comes and says, listen here, these are stolen goods, but you can make a lot of money. Al-inabatu ila daril khulud. He says, will I waste my hereafter for these few rands? Am I going to waste my akhirat just over these few rands? Does it make sense? Is it a sensible thing to do? Al-inabatu ila daril khulud. The person's lasting abode of the hereafter. And then the last sign of a sound heart, والاستعداد للموت قبل نزوله, that the person prepares for death. The person prepares for death before death arrives. Before the angel of death arrives, he's already prepared. One person, Medina Sharif, they went for Umrah with a senior alim. So the alim made dua that Ya Allah, grant us death in Medina Sharif. Make it such that we pass away in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a noble city. It is the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. So this person, after the dua, he came to Ma'an and said, Ma'an, make dua, I also pass away in Medina Sharif. So Malana told him that, brother, we are here now in Medina Sharif. We are here now. Let's make sincere dua. I'll make dua, you make dua also, that you pass away now. He said, Ma'an, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready, but inshallah. So this is what happens. Now when the person is a youngster, shaitan will say, no, you're still young, didn't you see that old man there with the walking stick? You're still going to reach that age. And the old man with the walking stick, he will say to himself, but you know, I remember that one mortar, he lived right till 120. So inshallah, I'm going for 122. And in this way, shaitan continues to deceive us. No, you're still young, still you're going to get married, then you're going to get children, then you're going to get grandchildren, then great-grandchildren, then only you're going. And in this way, shaitan continues to make us procrastinate and delay and delay and delay in changing our lives. The time for change is now, for tomorrow could be too late. Al-istidad lil-maut qabl al-nuzulihi. And we'll terminate on this one story of Harun al-Rashid. He had kept Dahlun, was known to be a very humorous person in the sense that he was very simple. But he was a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He hid his wilayat in his simplicity. On one hand, I've got this walking stick and it's meant for the most foolish person in the world. So you know, if you find someone more foolish than yourself, then you give it to him. But for now, I think you deserving of it. So he was joking with him. So Harun al-Rashid took that stick. Few weeks and months passed by and suddenly Harun al-Rashid became very, very ill. The same Bahmun came to visit him. When he visited him, he says, oh, King, oh Amir, what is your condition? He says, my condition is such that I feel I'm going to depart. I feel I'm going to pass away. So Bahmun played along. He says, where are you going to depart to? He says, I'm going to the hereafter. So he says, you're going to this place the year after, how long are you going there? He says, no, Bahlul, if anyone goes to that year after, he never comes back. He goes forever. So he says, oh, King, what preparations have you made for this journey? So Harun al-Rashid said, no, I haven't made really any preparations. So Bahlul said, oh, King, you are that person, that if you undertake a journey, you always make elaborate preparations. You will send a team ahead, and they will prepare. And you will make enough preparations to ensure that you have sufficient provisions for that particular journey. And sometimes your journey is 1 week, sometimes your journey is 2 weeks. The longer your journey is, the greater your preparation. Here you are saying you are going and you are never coming back. That means this journey is the longest from all your journeys. And you haven't made any preparations. I think I have found the person who is more foolish than myself. And therefore the stick should be given to you. But the lesson that we learn, that in this world we make a lot of preparations for lots of things. What about our preparation for the hereafter, for the everlasting abode, for akhirat, that place where we will never come back for? And this is an indication of a sound heart. Al-istidad lil-maut qabla nuzulihi. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala grants us all these three qualities. We have mentioned that Allah Ta'ala created us objective. If a person is not fulfilling his goal in this world, a person is hired as a driver, instead of picking up the items and delivering it to the customers, he goes and washes the car and repairs all the chips. The whole day passes by and he doesn't bring what he is supposed to. That employer will be upset with the person. In fact, he could even lose his job in the process. Allah has sent us into this world to fulfill certain goals and objectives. Now we've become so engrossed in the acquisition of this temporary world, forgetting our objectives. In the same way, Allah will become angry with us and we will be recipients of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we need to introspect that, do we have a sound heart? The signs of a sound heart, at-tajafi an daril ghurur, that the person is detached, his heart is detached from this temporary world, wal inabatu ila daril khulud, his heart is rather inclined to the hereafter that is everlasting, that never comes to an end. Well, and the third sign, al-isti'dad lil-maut qabla nuzulihi, that the person prepares for death before death arrives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us these beautiful qualities, and may Allah bless us with a sound heart. An indication of a sound heart is that you will find that this person, his actions are sound, and a corrupt heart will produce corrupt actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the ummah and unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.